السلام عليكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، أحمده وأستعينه وأستهديه وأشكره، وأصلي وأسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. أسأل الله أن يوفقنا لما يحبه ويرضاه. ما شاء الله. It is always nice to see you, all of you. Allah yubarak. Ahlan wa sahlan bihaj. Kayfa halukum? Ahlan wa marhaban. Bikum. Ahlan wa sahlan. Sharaftum. Karamakum Allah. Insha'Allah ta'ala, fi hadhihi dawra, natakallam fi sharhi aw fi hal alfaz عقيدة الإمام الطحاوي رحمة الله تعالى عليه. إن شاء الله during this دورة we will talk, we will explain briefly, the creed of الإمام الطحاوي رحمة الله عليه. وهذا الكتاب من الكتب التي وضع لها القبول بين المسلمين. This is a book which is widespread among the Muslims. منذ ألفه الإمام الطحاوي إلى أيامنا وهو معتمد عند أهل السنة والجماعة يرجعون إليه ويعتمدونه. Since Al-Imam Al-Tahawi authored this summary in Al-Aqidah, in the Creed, up till nowadays, the people of Ahl Sunnah rely on this book and consider it as one of the important references in Al-Aqidah. هذا الكتاب شرحه شراح عديدون. Many scholars wrote explanations of this book. القونوي، منكوبرس، البابرتي، الميداني وغيرهم. ومن أجمع وأنفع ما ألف في شرح هذا الكتاب لا سيما بالنسبة لأهل عصرنا شرح الشيخ عبد الله الهروي رحمة الله عليه المسمى بإظهار العقيدة السنية. And among the most beneficial explanations is the explanation of our شيخ الشيخ عبد الله الهروي رحمة الله عليه called إظهار العقيدة السنية. فإنه مع اختصاره حوى تحقيقات وتدقيقات شديدة النفع. This explanation is very suitable for our era, the people who live nowadays. And although it is a short explanation, still it contains very certain clarifications, very, very good clarifications of certain points that you wouldn't find easily in other explanations. ما سنفعله إن شاء الله هو أننا سنتكلم مختصرين الشروح التي يعني بمثل خلاصة للشروح التي شرحها الشيخ رحمة الله عليه. So what I'm going to do is to make a summary of the different explanations that Shaykh had for At-Tahawiyyah, because he explained At-Tahawiyyah several times. So inshaAllah ta'ala, ولا شك أن هذا الكتاب يحتاج لتلقي شرحه مرات مرة بعد مرة. And there is no doubt that there is a need to listen and take the explanation of this book several times. نبدأ هذه المرة إن شاء الله بحل الألفاظ ثم نتوسع في مرات قادمة إن شاء الله تعالى. This time inshallah we'll start with a brief explanation, and next times inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala we'll go on more details bi-iznillahi ta'ala. Al-Imam al-Tahawi, ولأجل أن يعم انتفاعنا بهذا الكتاب يعني لأجل أن يثبت انتفاعنا بهذا الكتاب ينبغي أن يراجع الواحد منا ما أخذ, and to benefit more from listening and acquiring the explanation of At-Tahawiyyah, one should review what he acquires. كما كنت ذكرت لكم قبل أعيد لكم. Just as I mentioned before, let me repeat some things, some beneficial things. شيخ عبد الله رحمة الله عليه قال أقل ما يتلقى الكتاب ثلاث مرات, أقل ما يأخذ الإنسان شرح الكتاب ثلاث مرات. شيخ عبد الله long time ago رحمة الله عليه said at least one should learn or acquire the explanation of a book three times. He said, at least three times. ثم قال, بعد أن يأخذ الطالب الدرس, يقعد مع إخوانه الذين أخذوا الدرس, فيعيد كل واحد ما سمع من الشارح. He said also, after the class is done, the students should sit together and each one of them should repeat what the teacher mentioned while explaining the book. لذلك إن شاء الله تعالى سنسعى أن يكون هناك حلقات بعد كل درس, عدة حلقات بعد كل درس يراجع فيها على الأقل واحد الدرس الذي أخذ. This is why إن شاء الله what we are going to do is to have several circles after each class, several circles for the brothers and the sisters. And in each circle, at least one person to review what was said, to repeat what was said during the explanation of this book. لأجل ضيق الوقت وإلا ينبغي أن يعاد أكثر من مرة. This is so because we don't have enough time. Otherwise, more than one should repeat each class. But at least let's do this issue. So don't run away after the class. If not this one, then the next one, inshallah ta'ala. مؤلف الكتاب هو أحمد ابن محمد ابن سلامة. The author of this booklet is called Ahmed, the son of Muhammad, the son of Salama. الطحاوي نسبة إلى بلدة في مصر يقال لها طحا. He was famous by الطحاوي in reference to a town in Egypt called طحا, after a town in Egypt called طحا. That's why he was called الطحاوي. It means the one from طحا. أما قبيلته فهي الأزد, لذلك يقال أحمد بن محمد بن سلامة الأزدي الطحاوي أو الطحاوي الأزدي. الطحاوي نسبة إلى البلدة والأزدي نسبة إلى القبيلة. So when you hear his name, you would hear أحمد, the son of Muhammad, the son of Salama, al-Tahawi al-Azdi, al-Tahawi in reference to his town, al-Azdi in reference to his tribe. ولد الإمام الطحاوي سنة 27 و200. Al-Imam al-Tahawi was born in the year 227 وتوفي سنة 321, and he died at the year 321. فهو إذن من أهل القرون الثلاثة الأولى من السلف. So he is among the people of the three first Hijri centuries. He lived most of his life during the era of As-Salaf. تفقه أولا على خاله تلميذ الشافعي الإمام المزني, with his uncle from his mother's side, Al-Muzani, who was the student, the famous student of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i. بعد ذلك تحول حنفيا. After that, he left out studying the Shafi'i school, and he started studying the Hanafi school. درس على أبي جعفر ابن أبي عمران, من مشاهير فقهاء الحنفية. He studied with Abu Ja'far, the son of Abu Imran, a famous Hanafi scholar. ثم رحل إلى بلاد الشام فدرس على أبي خازم. Then he traveled to the area of Asham, and there he studied with a famous Hanafi scholar also called Abu Khazim. وتفقه عليه. وله كتب مفيدة. He has several beneficial books. الطحاوي. He authored several beneficial books. منها أحكام القرآن يزيد عن 20 جزءا. Among these books, أحكام القرآن more than 20 volumes. ومعاني الآثار وبيان مشكل الآثار. Also a book called معاني الآثار, another one called بيان مشكل الآثار. واختلاف الفقهاء, another book called اختلاف الفقهاء. And all these books are very beneficial books. وكان أيضا من رواة أحاديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الثقات العدول. He was also among the upright, trustworthy narrators who narrated the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم with continuous chains of narrators. ولزيادة معرفة قدره يكفي أن في الحديث يكفي أن يذكر أن أبا بكر بن المقري وأبا القاسم الطبراني كانا من تلاميذه الذين رووا عنه. And to know more about his status in the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, it is enough to mention that At-Tabarani, the famous narrator, and Abu Bakr ibn al-Muqri are among his students. أما بالنسبة لمؤلف الشرح الذي أو الشروح التي أخذ منها هذه الخلاصة, أخذت منها هذه الخلاصة, فهو شيخنا وقدوتنا العالم الجليل الإمام المجدد الفقيه المحدث الأصولي النحوي اللغوي المفسر المتكلم الزاهد العابد الشيخ عبد الله ابن محمد الهرري رحمة الله تعالى عليه ورضوانه. As for the author of the explanation from which the explanations from which this brief explanation was extracted is Sheikh Abdullah, the son of Muhammad al-Harari, rahmatullahi alayh, who was a great scholar, that many people believe that he was al-Mujaddid, the renewer of the matters of the religion, for this century, as it was obvious. He was a great scholar in al-hadith, he was a muhaddith in al-fiqh, in the Arabic language, Arabic grammar, in the basis of the rules, al-usul, in the basis of the religion, in the interpretation of al-Quran, حافظ القرآن وراوي كتب الحديث بأسانيدها. He memorized Al-Quran and he narrated the books of Al-Hadith through a continuous chain of narrators. أما من حيث النسب فيرجع نسبه إلى بني شيبة من عبد الدار من قبيلة قريش. As for his lineage, he goes back to the tribe of Quraysh. To be more specific, to the clan of Abd al-Dar. And to be more and more specific, to a part of this clan called Banu Shaybah. وهم الذين قال فيهم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إن مفتاح الكعبة يبقى فيهم لا ينزعه منهم إلا ظالم. And this part of Bani Shaybah, Banu Shaybah, of Banu Abd al-Dar, that is Banu Shaybah, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said that the key of Al-Kaaba should be kept with them, and anyone who takes it from them would be an unjust person. So up till nowadays, the key of Al-Kaaba is still with them. ولد الشيخ عبد الله رحمة الله عليه قبل أكثر من 100 سنة في مدينة هرم. الشيخ عبد الله was born more than 100 years ago in the city of هرم. نشأ في بيت محب للعلم أهله يحبون علم الدين. He was raised among people who loved to acquire the knowledge of the religion. درس أولا على والده كتابا مختصرا في الفقه الشافعي. He studied first a very brief booklet with his father, a famous booklet in that area. يقال له المختصر الصغير. It is called المختصر الصغير. The brief summary. ودرس عليه أيضا المقدمة الحضرمية في الفقه الشافعي. Also he studied with his father another book for beginners in the Shafi'i school called المقدمة الحضرمية. كان الشيخ عبد الله يقول لما كنت صغيرا كنت أحمل كتابين, كتابا في النحو وكتابا ضخما في الفقه الشافعي, وألحق بشيخنا الشيخ محمد عبد السلام رحمة الله عليه. Sheikh Abdullah used to say, when I was a little boy, I used to carry two books. One book pertains to the Arabic grammar, and the other one is a big book in the Shafi'i school. I used to carry these two books and follow my Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Salam. مرة واحد قال له شيخنا تحمل الكتابين لإيش؟ One time one person told him, why did you carry these two books? قال الشيخ كان يقرئني فيهما. Sheikh said, my sheikh used to teach me in these two books. كان سن الشيخ في ذلك الوقت 7 سنين or 8 سنين. At that time his age was 7 or 8 years. He was 7 or 8 years old. رحمة الله عليه. ثم بعدما تلقى من الشيخ محمد عبد السلام كما تلقى من الشيخ محمد عبد السلام تلقى من غيره من أهل بلده. Also he acquired knowledge from other sheikhs in his town, hometown. بعد ذلك صار يطوف على المشايخ الذين هم حول بلده. After that, he started going to the different sheikhs that lived in the surrounding area of his town. وكان في ذلك الوقت مشايخ كثيرون في تلك النواحي. And during that time, there was many sheikhs in these areas. أهله رحمة الله عليه يقولون, أخوه وغيره يقولون, ما كان يهدأ, ما كنا نراه في البلد إلا قليلا, إذا سمع بشيخ من المشايخ شد الرحال إليه. His brother and other people of his family and among his students said that we didn't see him a lot in Harar, in our town. Whenever he heard about a sheikh, he would go to acquire the knowledge from him. وكان يرحل في طلب العلم مشيا أو غير مشي على حسب ما يتيسر. He used to go seeking the knowledge whether walking or in other ways. سألته مرة مولانا إلى جمة كم أخذ معكم، لأنه رحل مشيا إلى جمة. قلت له كم من الوقت احتجتم؟ قال مشينا 20 يوما حتى وصلنا إليها. He went to a town called Jimma to seek the knowledge there. I asked him one day, how many days did you walk until you reached there? He said, we walked for 20 days until we got where we were going. ودرس رحمة الله عليه على مشايخ كانوا في الطبقة العليا من العلم. شيخ عبد الله studied with people who were at a very high level of knowledge. من مشايخه الشيخ مفتي الحبشة محمد سراج الجبرتي. Among his sheikhs was the Mufti of الحبشة محمد سراج الجبرتي. ومنهم الشيخ محمد سراج كان في الطبقة في طبقة عالية في علم الحديث. He was a high scholar in the area of al-hadith. طوف في بلاده وغير بلاده، رحل في طلب العلم إلى السودان وإلى مصر وإلى بلاد الشام وإلى الحجاز وغير ذلك. He went to many areas seeking the knowledge. Egypt, Sudan, الشام، الحجاز and other areas. لما وصل الشيخ عبد الله إليه كان الوقت رمضان. When Sheikh Abdullah arrived to the area to this Sheikh, it was during the month of Ramadan. Several ones among his students who are still alive told me the same story. عدة أشخاص من طلابه الذين ما زالوا أحياء أخبروني نفس القصة متفرقين. And this happened in different occasions. They were not together. In different places, different occasions. قالوا لما وصل الشيخ عبد الله إليه قال لجماعته الآن لا يأم أحد منكم، لا يتقدم أحد منكم للإمامة في الصلاة، تقدمون هو ليأم بكم في الصلاة. He told his people, his students, no one among you after now stands as imam in the prayer. Let Sheikh Abdullah lead you in the prayer. قال هذا ولي من أولياء الله تعالى. He told them this is one of الأولياء. قال وأيضا لا تعجبه لا ترضيه قراءتكم. He added, and over that, he will not be pleased with the way you recite. So, actually,
Sheikh Abdullah, after he arrived there, he asked him, he told him, do you give me permission to teach them the proper recitation? And he told him, of course. So وكان وبسبب وصول الشيخ عبد الله إليه الشيخ محمد سراج كان لا يصلي التراويح في رمضان ما عاد يصلي التراويح في رمضان إنما صار بعد صلاة العشاء يقعد مع الشيخ يختليان يتدارسان العلم إلى طلوع الفجر هكذا كل يوم. And after Sheikh Abdullah arrived there, Sheikh Muhammad Siraj did not pray at-Taraweeh for the rest of Ramadan. He spent the time after the prayer of Al-Isha, he would sit with Sheikh Abdullah alone, and they would talk about the matters of the religion until Al-Fajr. So they didn't, he left out praying at-Taraweeh with the others because he thought that this is a rare opportunity to teach this person. He is not going to have a similar student easily again. So he preferred spending the time teaching him. وهذا لأنه كان يعتقد أنه قد لا يجد مثل الشيخ تلميذا مثل الشيخ عبد الله يدرسه فيما بعد. ومن مشايخ الشيخ الشيخ أحمد عبد الرحمن الذي كان من مشاهير القراء قراء القرآن. Among the شيخ of Sheikh Abdullah is a very famous scholar, especially in the area of the recitation of Al-Quran. His name is Ahmad Abdul Rahman. كان يتقن القراءات الأربع عشر. He used to know very well the 14 recitations of Al-Quran. لما قدم أخبرني بعض من كان مع الشيخ عندما قدم إليه قال لما قدمنا إلى هناك مكثنا مدة ثم الشيخ أراد أن يرحل إلى شيخ آخر فقال لي لا تذكر أمام الشيخ أحمد أننا نريد أن نرحل إذا ذكرت لا يتركنا. After they arrived there, one of the people who were with Sheikh Abdullah told me this story. He said, Sheikh Abdullah told me, now we are going to leave Sheikh Ahmed and go to another Sheikh. Don't tell Sheikh Ahmed that we want to leave. He's not going to let us go. قال ففي اليوم الثاني الشيخ أحمد نظر إلي. He said, the next day Sheikh Ahmed talked with me and he insinuate about the issue of us leaving and go to another place. قال فأنا أظهرت كأنني يعني ما فهمت. He said, so I pretended as if I did not understand, because Sheikh Abdullah told him, don't mention anything about this issue. So he said, I pretended I did not understand. قال ففي اليوم الذي بعده قال لي الشيخ أحمد قال أنتم يا أولادي أحس أنكم مثل الطائر الذي يريد أن يطير وأنا أمسكه. He told him, I feel that you are like a bird that wants to fly, you and your, the others, you and Sheikh Abdullah and the others who are with you, and I'm holding this bird so it does not fly. قال عند ذلك ذكرت له. He said, then I told him, yes, we want to go, etc. to this sheikh. فصار يرغب الشيخ يقول له الآن رمضان وقراءة القرآن وتستفيدون بكذا وتستفيدون بكذا. بعد هذا ما تركهم يذهبون حتى تركوا ثيابهم عنده، يعني أنهم يرجعون إليه. He started telling them, this is now Ramadan comes, and in Ramadan you would benefit from this, from that. He started mentioning things that they would benefit from them if they stay. And because Sheikh Abdullah insisted, he didn't let them go except after leaving their clothes at his place. So he would be somehow sure that they would come back to him. They would pass by him. ومنهم الشيخ شريف الجمي الذي كان من نوادر عصره في علوم اللغة العربية. Among them, Sheikh Sharif al-Jimmi, who was very knowledgeable about the different types of knowledge related to the Arabic language. مع مشايخ آخرين كثيرين يعني added to those, there is many other scholars that Sheikh Abdullah rahmatullah alayh acquired the knowledge from them. قال لي واحد شخص مرة ذهب والدي مع الشيخ عبد الله لطلب العلم من أحد المشايخ، قال فكانت المعيشة هناك قاسية جدا. قال والدي مكث مدة نسيت 3 أشهر يمكن قال أو أقل، وجلده تقرح ما عاد يستطيع أن يصبر فترك ورجع إلى البلد. أما الشيخ عبد الله فبقي هناك حتى قال له هذا الشيخ ما عاد عندي شيء أعلمك، اذهب إلى غيري. One person told me my father went with Sheikh Abdullah seeking the knowledge from a sheikh, and the situation, the living situation in that area was very tough. He said my father couldn't stay more than, I think he told me 3 months. He couldn't stay more than that. Said his skin became he said the skin of my father got inflamed, so he couldn't stay anymore. He went back home. As for Sheikh Abdullah, he stayed there until this Sheikh told him, I do not have anything more. I don't know anything more to teach you. I taught you everything I know. So now go to another one to teach you. بعد ذلك أخذ العلم أيضا الشيخ في بلاد الحجاز وفي بلاد الشام وغيرها وغيرهما. Later Sheikh Abdullah acquired the knowledge also in the area of al-Sham, in the area of al-Hijaz. ثم استقر في دمشق لمدة نحو 10 سنين. Then he stayed in Damascus for about 10 years. يقيم في حجرة صغيرة على سطح أحد المساجد. He lived in a small room on يعني the roof of a mosque there. في حي يقال له القيمرية في دمشق, in an area called القيمرية in Damascus. المسجد ما زال والغرفة ما زالت. The mosque is still there and this room is still there. لما جاء إلى دمشق جاء إليه أناس من أكابر علماء دمشق, قالوا ندرس عليك علم الحديث لأننا عندنا نقص في هذه الناحية. Some of the most famous scholars of Damascus, some of them are still alive up till nowadays. They came to Sheikh Abdullah and told him, we want to study with you the knowledge of al-hadith because we are not skillful. In Damascus, the scholars of Damascus are not skillful in this area. وَنَحْنُ نَحْتَاجْ إِلَى هَذَا لِمُوَاجَهَةِ الْوَهَابِيَّةِ. And we need to study this type of knowledge to face the Wahhabis. لِأَنَّ الْوَهَابِيَّةِ أَحْيَانًا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ بِأَشْيَاءِ فِي الْحَدِيثِ لِيُوهِمُ النَّاسِ صحة ما يقولون. Because the Wahhabis sometimes they come up, they mention things pertaining to the knowledge of hadith to trick the people that they are, what they are saying is the proper thing. فقال لهم الشيخ أنا ما عندي وقت, أنا مشغول بتدريس الناس العقيدة, إن شئتم تأتون قبل الفجر. He told them, I don't have time for that. I'm busy teaching the people the matters of the creed. If you want, I have time before Al-Fajr. So if you want to learn, you need to come before Al-Fajr to learn with me. فَقَبِلُوا. So they accepted. فَكَانُوا يَأْتُونَ قَبْلَ الْفَجْرِ. They used to come before Al-Fajr. ثَلَاثَ. Three of them. واحد يقرأ في فتح الباري شرح البخاري, وواحد يقرأ في تدريب الراوي شرح السيوطي على تقريب النووي. One of them used to recite on a sheikh from فتح الباري the explanation of al-Bukhari, and the other one from the explanation of السيوطي of a book in al-Hadith. A very famous explanation called Tadrib al-Rawi, two volumes, it's printed in two volumes. قالوا كان الشيخ عبد الله لا يمسك بيده كتابا, نحن نقرأ فإذا أخطأنا يصلح لنا, من غير أن يمسك كتابا بيده. They said, we did, Sheikh Abdullah did not hold a book in his hands. We used to read, and if we made any mistake, Sheikh Abdullah would correct us. Without holding any book in his hand, without looking in a copy. بعد ذلك جاء إلى بيروت فمكث فيها نحو 50 سنة. After that, Sheikh Abdullah came to Beirut and he stayed there around 50 years. He lived there around 50 years in Beirut. صبر صبرا عظيما. He was very patient. وبسبب ذلك نشر الله تعالى على يديه خيرا كبيرا. And because of that, Allah تبارك وتعالى facilitated for him to spread many benefits all around the world. It is difficult to talk about Sheikh Abdullah after his death, rahmatullahi alayh. And many people did not, I think, did not really appreciate, did not know his high level. And even, I think even we did, his followers did not benefit as we should from him. One day I went with him to visit some people in an area. Their father was a friend of Sheikh Abdullah. He was a sheikh, a friend of Sheikh Abdullah. He died, and Sheikh Abdullah wanted to visit his children. The last time before that they saw him, it was before 20 years. So now these people are, they have very high social status in their community. Some are members in the parliament, one is member in the parliament, other in, they are very known among the community. So Sheikh Abdullah went to visit them, and they received him in a very good way. He spent there around 1 hour. They made food, a lot of food. We were with him like 4 people, and the food was enough for maybe 50 people from it. He had with him his own food, this little amount of food that he used to eat, 8 bites, 9 bites, 10 bites, 7 bites. That was the average of what he would eat, not more. Always the same food, again and again and again and again. 2-3 different types of food, that's it. He sat with them, he told them what he wanted, he said what he wanted to say. He made wudu, he prayed, and then he left. I heard one of them saying to another, to his brother, who was close to them, who was saying, look, after 20 years, he is still the same. Nothing had changed. After 20 years, he is still the same. Nothing changed. And this is how Sheikh Abdullah was. Why? Because he had a very clear target. He didn't let anything distract him from reaching that target, which is to obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and always to think about death and what to do to be safe in the hereafter, what to do to get reward in the hereafter. All the time. Whenever he was not teaching, he was saying La ilaha illallah. Even when he would say a statement, then before saying the other statement, he would notice that he is saying a tahleel with a low voice, until saying loudly the next statement. He never paid any attention to have money or how to spend for himself. This wasn't something that occupied his mind at all. He would ask you, ask someone to go and buy, let's say, 2 pounds of oranges, for example. And he might give you like something equivalent to $100. And asks you, is this enough? Is it enough? Because he didn't know. He never bought or sold anything. For 50 years he stayed in Beirut. He didn't think about that at all. Yes, if there is something, yani if there is a right for a Muslim in something, and then it's another issue. I know Sheikh Abdullah for about 15 years. 15 years, this is what I remember. Since 15 years, sending people to Damascus searching for a person who lent him one day 25, I don't know, yani. If you want 25 cents, it's not equivalent to 25 cents. Now, it's not even equivalent to a day, Rabbi Aliwa. It's not even equivalent to 1/4 of a cent, even not, even less. That person lent him the money and he disappeared. Sheikh Abdullah couldn't get back to him. He didn't know where he went. And for 15 years, he kept searching for this person, saying, if I die, know that such person, I owe him this amount of money. Then about 1 year before he died, he could get to the inheritors of this person. That person died. Sheikh Abdullah got to his inheritors and he paid them an equivalent amount, etc. And he did what he did about it. A person one day left a book at his place and he never showed up again. This person lived in Homs in North Syria. And Sheikh Abdullah kept searching for this person, sending people ask where this person would be. Does anyone know him? Until also like a year or less than a year before Sheikh Abdullah died, or maybe 2 years before he died, he reached the inheritors of this person. Also he died. This person died. His inheritors moved to another city. Somehow he reached them and he sent them the book. This is for you, not for me. One book he couldn't reach his owner. Also, this person left the book at his house and he couldn't reach him again. I know that he sent people many times searching for this person around. Does anyone know him, where he is, etc. He couldn't. So he asked one of our brothers when he got very sick before he died. He told this person, you take this book, you keep it where you keep your books. That is, you keep it where it should be kept. Because a book is kept where books are kept usually. So he told him, you take it, you keep it where this your books are kept, and if the owner of this book appears one day, if you get to know him, where he is, or his inheritors, then you give this book to them. So Now, as far as ordering al-ma'ruf, forbidding al-munkar, teaching the religion, I think these are things that every one of you heard about it and know. If not, without meeting a sheikh, you read in his books, or you heard one of his students, or you benefited somehow from the knowledge that he taught, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He never, mashallah. Insha'Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we will go over briefly over the explanation of al-aqidah al-tahawiyya extracted from the different explanations of Shaykh Abdullah that he authored to explain this booklet, insha'Allah ta'ala. And despite all of that, he never, Shaykh Abdullah, never claimed and never thought about himself that he had a high status. He never said that, and he never thought about himself that he had a high status. Despite all the different things that happened with him, despite all the different extraordinary things that happened with him, karamat that many among us witnessed them, still he believed that this was not a karama. If anything extraordinary happened with him, he believed this was not a karama for him. Somehow this was for someone else. Sami told me, my son, Sami, because he served Sheikh Abdullah for the past few years. He stayed with him at his house all the time. So, and he used to sleep with him in the same room at night. This was among his tasks, to serve Sheikh during the night. So he said, several times I heard Sheikh Abdullah during the night after praying, making dua and saying, Allahumma arzuqni al-wilayah. Oh Allah, give me the status of a wali. That is, make me better to become a wali. One time he said, لو كان لذنوبي رائحة لما جالستموني. He said, had my sins, if had my sins have smell, no one among you would sit close to me. Meaning I have many sins, which was not the case. Yes, he didn't think highly about himself. Rahmatullahi alayhi. Do you have any questions about what was said? Let's stop here for now. And let me say one thing. Allah yubarik fikum. Inshallah, I'll give you enough time to ask questions after each class. So please ask the questions. When I ask, do you have any questions? Don't keep silent. And then when there are no questions and I want to get up to leave, then everyone comes to the table to ask me about the questions that they want. No, Whatever questions you have, ask them, so everyone would benefit from the answers, if I know the answer. Allah yubarik feekum. Please do that. This is easier for me and for you, and more beneficial for everyone. Yes, sister, go ahead. Walaykum as-salam. No, from Al-Azd. He was an Arab, but from a tribe called Al-Azd. No, not from Quraysh. Sheikh Abdullah was from Quraysh. Go ahead. Walaykum as-salam. Ana Mujahid. Go ahead. Seven. But, يعني, there are different sayings about the time when he was born, but they, all the sayings, they go around that time. I don't know. I think he was buried in Egypt. I'm not sure. I don't know. Yes. Two of them are still alive. One now is very old. So he doesn't, although he is very famous. And the other one, he is still active. The third one died, rahimahullah ta'ala. I can't hear you. That Sheikh Abdullah studied? Okay. المختصر الصغير المقدمة الحضرمية متن أبي شجاع فتح الوهاب شرح منهج الطلاب شرح الإرشاد شرح كشف النقاب شرح السنوسية The six books of al-hadith al-Bukhari Muslim al-Tirmidhi Ibn Majah al-Nasai Abu Dawood تقريب للنووي شرح النخبة لابن حجر البيقونية شرح ابن عقيل على ألفية ابن مالك other books. Yeah. Sometimes, few times, a little bit more than that. Usually, this is it. Seven, between seven and nine. Most of the time, Sarid. Sarid means a liquid, that's either water, tea, meat broth, or the like, with bread in it. Sometimes with small pieces of meat, sometimes with pieces of vegetables. Sometimes other than that, but many times this was what he ate. because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام praised this type of food called الثريد. نعم وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وفيك. الله يبارك فيك. It's nice to see all of you. الله يحسن إليكم. Hey, you remember him, yes, of course. Jabarti, the people who live in his area, many of them, they have this this last, if you want, this last name, Al-Jabarti, because they go back, their lineage goes back to different Arab tribes that came from the Arabic Peninsula to Eritrea and from Eritrea to that area in Ethiopia called Raya. That's why they call most of the people of that area, they call them Al-Jabarti. Originally they are Arabs who came from that area. This is what I know about that. I don't know more than that. I don't have more information about that. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. ما هو إيش؟ ما آخر في آخر يوم ما كان الشيخ يستطيع أن يتكلم. ما عاد قادرا على النطق. آخر يوم قبل موته ما عاد يستطيع أن يتكلم. رحمة الله عليه. نعم. I can't hear you, Fawzi. I will follow, this is the translation of At-Tahawiyyah. Yeah, I will follow this translation, inshallah. Yeah, I'll follow it. I'll use it to, inshallah, wafiq. Naam, tabbak. Wa alaykum as-salam. The clan of Abdud-Dar and Banu Shayba is a part of this clan. Wafiq. Then. Alaykum as-salam. Okay, I'm trying to remember something that happened with me, but everything I remember, it involves another person. The very clear ones, they involve other people. Let me think about someone else. Okay. Sheikh Abdullah's son, Haj Abdul Rahman, told me that his grandmother, that is Sheikh Abdullah's mother, told him that one day she was making bread. And to make the story short, so there was a fire there to make the bread, and her hand, she fell into the fire, and her hand got severely burned. So Sheikh Abdullah knew, he came, people called, little children called him, he came. He took her hand and he put it, there was like, not a carpet, a mat. He put her hand under this mat while reciting. I don't know what he recited. Then he pulled her hand from underneath this mat and her hand was back as it was. And by the way, I heard a story how Sheikh Abdullah used to act with his mother from two different sources, and both they were at the same session, but in two different countries. Each one told me the same story. They were far away from each other. I think they did not meet since that story happened. They told me that Sheikh Abdullah, his mother went to Al-Hajj. And at the time he was not anymore living in Ethiopia. So he was at Al-Hajj too. So he went to visit his mother with some people. One of them was an Ethiopian person and the other one was a Lebanese person. They went to visit his mother, and when they came in where she was, they talked with her, they sat, they started talking, and after a while they noticed that Sheikh Abdullah was still standing up, not saying anything. After he saluted her, he didn't sit down. He kept standing up, silent, without saying any word. So they noticed that. One of them told his mother, Sheikh Abdullah is still standing up. If you tell him to sit down. So then she said, Abdullah, sit down. This is when he sat down. So this is how he used to treat his mother. At the time, his son was, I think, like 30 year old or 25 year old. MashaAllah. Yes. Alaykum as-salam. Someone needs to transmit. How old? When I knew Sheikh Abdullah, the first time I attended a class with him, sixteen years old. And what was? From him, three books, because he used at the time to give three classes every day in three different books. So one of them is called Sulam Tawfiq, the other one is called Matan Abi Shuja', and the third one is called Zubayd ibn Islam. One pertains to the personal obligatory knowledge of the religion, and the two others are in the Shafi'i school. For beginners to learn the Shafi'i school. بارك الله فيكم وحفظكم. Let's say لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Actually, after I had with Sheikh Abdullah, after I attended with him some classes and with his students, then I lost him for about, I lost him. I didn't know how to get to him again. And after 1.5 years, so I found him again. So to be precise, then alhamdulillah, I went to his house. I know where he is and how to get always to him. I stuck with him, alhamdulillah. Allah yajzi anna khayra. Barakallahu fikum.